Because we are celebrating Thanksgiving this week, I chose that subject for my sermon this morning. I would like to read to you from Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. No, beginning with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the peace of God shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abused, abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Isn't that last verse simply wonderful? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I would like to read to you this morning an article entitled Thanksgiving that was written by a devotee of mine room many years ago. God is the master builder. He has built this universe on the solid rock of his ever-understanding love with the framework of his interwoven laws. Love and laws interpenetrate and intercept all space and all time. In me, through me, within me, and without me, crisscross the invisible lines of his divine forces. While laws rule life, love elevates it. I thank God for his laws of love and love of laws. He has given me the wide world and the fertile earth on which to play and to live. The earth feeds me with the milk of her soil, while the fresh air and the virile light give me the breath of life. I thank my God for the bounty of his free gifts. My mother's love and my father's care were given to me unasked and unsought. Oh, how can I describe the dignity of brother's affection and sister's sympathy that enrich my life and widen my horizon? I thank thee, O Lord, for thy untold blessings. How can I repay the smiles of my neighbors or the courtesies of my fellow men whom I meet on the highway of this life? They owe me no smiles or help, but for thy love that is within them. They scatter good cheer around me. O God, I have no words to express my thankfulness to thee. With their might, the country and the state protect me. The sun and the moon rise and set so that we can live and grow. They draw dream pictures over the land and sea. They draw dream pictures over the land and sea to uplift our drowsy souls. O divine inspirer, how can a mortal mind find words to thank thee with mortal words for all this beauty and grandeur? Thou sendest the stalwart genius to serve us on the material and intellectual planes, and also the mighty prophets to show us the golden doorway to heavenly bliss and contentment. O divine Father, my heart melts at thy grace and thy gifts. Here I offer all my hopes and desires, my ambitions and aspirations, my life and my blood, all myself and mind as thanksgiving to thee. In gratitude and humility, I offer my life and its fruits in service to thy children. Isn't that a beautiful thing? That was written by Sri Nirod, many, many years ago. You know, Thanksgiving is a unique day. It is a unique American holiday. There is nothing like it elsewhere in the whole world, nothing at all. It is a day that is set apart, especially by our people. It is a day of deep feeling of gratitude for the great blessings which God in His infinite goodness has given all of us. It does not celebrate a savage war or the fall of a great city. It does not mark the anniversary of a great conqueror, nor the birthday of a famous statesman. It does not commemorate the writing of a new constitution, of a new public document. Rather, it is this deep felt thanks that we have found a land in which we may worship God in freedom, in which we may be free men, with free thoughts, with free speech, with free action. And when we look at some other nations in the world, and we see how those things have been taken away from them, we can truly get down on our knees and thank God for our many blessings. We can thank Him for the dangers and the hardships which we have come through in safety. And we can thank Him above all for His great blessings. And this we must always do. You know, in some churches, the people use a rosary. It is a string of beads in which they use this to remember certain blessings which God gives them. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we, in our memory, could make ourselves a rosary and we could remember all the good and the beautiful things and the love of God. You know, each Sunday I try to think of something a little bit different to give you because I know what the human mind is like. But it has the same thing fed to it all the time. It becomes boring. And so I try to ask God what to say to you, to keep you interested. You see, I try to give you what you want until you want what I want to give you. And I want to give you only one thing, and that is the realization of God within yourself. And yet I cannot give it to you. I can speak the truth, I can teach the truth, I can be the example of the truth, and I can inspire you, I can guide you, and I can direct you. But you, as God's disciples, saying that you want this great pearl of God realization, must go within your own body temple, within the sanctuary of your own soul, and find Him there. This requires total acceptance of whatever God has given you at this moment in your life, and total surrender of yourself and everything you have, which must be laid at His feet. There must be absolute purity of body, mind, and soul before this great experience of the light of God can fill your being, before you can feel this tremendous bliss of His presence, before you can go beyond all that you know in this world of duality into a world that you never even dreamed of before. So I thought that this morning I would think in terms of the letters of the alphabet, and just give a few things for each letter that we could be thankful for. This is my unique contribution for today. A stands for America, angels, and applesauce. B for beauty, books, brotherhood, birds, brooks, and bonfires. C for Christ, Christmas, children, churches, camps, crops, and cranberries. D for democracy, dawns, duties, and dolents. E for eyes and education. F for fathers, faith,
friends, fun, flowers, and above all, freedom. G is for God. H for hope, happiness, and home. I for ideals, inspiration, independence, immortality. J for Jesus and justice. K for knowledge and keepsakes. L for love, loyalties, longings, and laughter. M for mothers and music. M for nights and nature. O for oceans and opportunities. P for prayer, pictures, peace, and pumpkin pie, of course. Q for quest and quiet. R for right, reasons, and rest. S for strength, strangers, ships, and sunsets. T for truth, tomorrow, and guess what? Turkey. U for universe and universities. V for virtue, valor, and victories. W for worship, work, and world. X for Xavier, St. Francis, that is, X-rays and xylophones. Y for youth, years, yearning, and yesterdays. Z for zoos, zest, and zippers. Now that's an awful lot to be thankful for. I'm sure that you can agree. And you know, when we stop to think minutely of all of the things that we have to be thankful for in this life, the very gift of life itself, how perfectly wonderful it is. How perfectly wonderful. You know, in the early days when this country was founded, a few pilgrims came over in a very small ship called the Mayflower. They landed on the shores of this great nation. And they had untold hardships. And that first winter was terrible in this new land, where they had absolutely none of the comforts that we have now. Many of them fell sick and died. And at one time, there were only 7 that were in good health enough to nurse the 6 that were still left. Because everything was so scarce, there were only 5 grains, 5 kernels of corn that were allotted to each individual. And it became a holiday custom on Thanksgiving Day thereafter to place 5 kernels of corn by the plate to remind themselves and their children who would come after of the hardships that they had gone through, and how great their blessings were now, because they had come through all of these things. 5 kernels of corn. Just think of what we have now in comparison to that. Now these 5 kernels of corn, we can think about as different things to be thankful for. First, with regard to nature, all of the things that this good earth provides us for. All of the sun, the moon, the stars, the rain, all of these things. We live as a result of our Mother Nature. And Georgia Harkness once wrote a poem, which I found, which says these words of thanksgiving in very beautiful form. For these, O God, I give thee thanks. For autumn hills all tapestried in gold, for sleeping valleys nestling near thy heart, for gleams of burnished silver on the stream, for jewels flashing in the nighttime skies, for flaming sunlit clouds, for soft horizon haze, for bare brown earth and rugged wind-swept trees, for rain, for dew, for frost, for nature's sleep, and for glad resurgent life of Eastertime. For these, O God, I thank. When you think of how we go outdoors and we feel the sun upon us, how we can go out and feel the soft breeze, how we feel the rain upon our heads. And sometimes we complain bitterly because we have so much rain here. And yet just think how much energy it furnishes, of which we have not had a goodly supply lately. And so God, in his bounty, has been giving us a great deal of rain. Let us give thanks. And because we have this rain, we have this wonderful green state. It is one of the most beautiful states in the Union, and I have traveled through every state in this Union but five. I have never seen a more beautiful city, having traveled halfway around the world, than this great city of Seattle. It is said that it is a spiritual city because it is built like Rome upon seven hills. And when I was living in the Middle East, somehow I had to come to Seattle. There was an inner urge of pull, and I just wouldn't leave my parents alone until finally they decided they would move here. And I came here when I was 17 years old. And I have never felt the desire, the real desire to move anyplace else, because this is home. This is the place where I met my own guru. This is the place where I went through all the experiences which have brought me to this state of consciousness, whatever it may be, God knows. But regardless of any hardship that I have ever gone through, regardless of any test, any trial, any tribulations, I thank God that He brought me to this city, that He has done with my life everything that He has done. Because it has become rich in memories. Now, some of these memories are very difficult, and yet I see them as the most tremendous blessings, the experiences which came at that given time. Because out of each experience which is bad, we grow if we have just the plain guts to stand up to it and do it. We have to. It's either sink or swim. And who wants to sink? We all would rather swim in the stream of life, I'm sure, than we would to sink beneath the ocean of trials and tribulations. And each of us have the power within ourselves. We have the nature of God within ourselves, and His nature is not one of defeat. It is one of victory. One of victory. And each of us has that within ourselves. And if we just hang on to Him with everything we have, He will see us through. And gradually, the nature which is called the creature or the human ego will change. And it will become divinized. It will become something more than human. It will become that which is of God. And that's a great thing. Another ear of corn, or another kernel of corn, can represent the great men and women of our nation, of which there have been many. And we can look back at our Washington, our Lincoln, our Grant, our Stonewall Jackson, our Thomas Edison, and many of the great men and many women also who have been great in our country. And their efforts, their ideals, their vision, their inspiration have gone into making this country the greatest nation in the world. And this is a wonderful thing. We have to think of these deeds which have built this foundation for us, because if it had not been for the insight and the vision of these great ones and the power of God within them, we would not be as we are today. Now, true, our nation may be in a chaotic condition, but it is just going through a state of change. And I prophesy that out of all of this is going to come something great and something good. You know, I would say that Lincoln gave us words of matchless counsel for the months ahead when he said, "With malice toward none, with charity for all, let us strive on to finish the work we are in, to do all which may achieve and cherish a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations." Now, there's certainly nothing wrong in that. And instead of being willing to criticize every moment, let us find the goodness in the things which we are facing. Let us help to build a new, solid foundation in our nation. And we do this by positive thought, by positive action, by positive speech. Let us guard this little tongue of ours so that it is not constantly complaining, criticizing, gossiping, maligning. Let us use this time to praise the Lord. And in praising Him, we keep remembrance of Him. And in keeping remembrance of Him, we become like Him. Because we are instructed that we must become perfect even as our Father in heaven is perfect. Now the third kernel could be one of thankfulness for our friends and our loved ones. Now sometimes our friends we don't think are our friends. We think they are our enemies. Because they tell us truthfully and sometimes overly frankly what they think of us. But are they not truly our friends? Because they bring to our attention the things which are lacking within us. The things that we can actually do something about. But also they are there when we need them. They are there to comfort us, to praise us. They are there to share the good things, the joy, the happiness, the wonderful things that happen to us. And there are many of these. All of these things our friends do for us. And our loved ones, those whom we consider our very own, are they not special gifts of God given to us in order that we may learn to see Him in every form that stands before us? Are they not given, these precious loved ones of ours, as perhaps examples? We are put in the school of life. And so this life entails many, many experiences, some good, some bad, as I have said. But as you see that which is in your loved one, you either grow or you go down to defeat, because sometimes you don't like what you see. But this is your test. Are you looking at the individual? Are you looking at the personality? Or are you looking for God in that one? And seeing how wonderful He is to be like this, so that He can give you patience and understanding and tolerance and the power to overcome within yourself. How blessed is the one whom you think to be your enemy, your adversary. Because it is that one alone that really makes you measure up, not the one that is always patting you on the back and telling you how great you are, how beautiful, how wonderful. But it is the one who gives you a bad time sometimes, because that one tests your mettle. That one truly tests your mettle. Then the fourth corner is the work, or kernel is the work of the world. Work is such a blessed thing. One who does not work loses touch with life. They stand at the temple and they beg alms, or they become derelicts in life. Work is such a very blessed thing. But there are some people who use it as a rope around their neck. They use it like a squirrel cage. And you see them doing what they consider to be mundane tasks every day. With no zest, no vigor, no enthusiasm, it's just a job that they go and they do of necessity in order that they may earn a few coins to go home and feed their family upon, clothe themselves and whatnot. The windows of their souls are dull and lusterless. They really are. They have lost touch with reality. But there are others who look for something really worthwhile to do, no matter how simple, how humdrum the task. They do it with joy, because they do it in service to the Lord. And that they know that no matter how humble this job is, that it is necessary to keep this great universe going in motion. It is necessary for life that they are in truth providing something for somebody else. The nurse goes out and heals the sick. The salesman moves the merchandise across the country and within the city so that all may be helped. The engineer goes out and he builds bridges. He digs dams, digs ditches, and he builds dams in order that science may progress. You know, there are so many things that each one does. Even the ditch digger, you see, is very necessary. The street sweeper, does he not do a great service to God and humanity? This is true, no matter what it is. The housewife who stays at home and takes care of her family and cooks and sweeps and scrubs the floor and is a helpmate to her man, and the man who goes out and earns a living for his family. These are difficult things to do in this day because everything is very expensive. And unless everyone is willing, in a family, in a community, in a city, a state, a nation, to do their part, we will fail in our responsibility to make ourselves, our family, and our nation under God what it should be. We must work. Work is such a blessing because, you know, in everything that you do, you put forth the special gift of God that He has given you. You can inspire and teach someone else. You have the blessed privilege of donating a part of yourself, your intelligence, your energy, to making this great universe into what it is today. And it is vast, it is great, it is beautiful, and it is mighty. We have so much to be thankful for. And the fifth kernel is the greatest of all, because the fifth kernel is devoted only to God. His great love, His great goodness, His great everything that He is and everything that He does for us. We think that He is stern because He's made such perfect laws. But it is we ourselves who punish ourselves. We make ourselves the criminals. We make ourselves the judge, the jury, the sentencer, the executioner. Through our own misuse of this perfect law which He has given us. On the other hand, we choose to work in harmony with that law. We make ourselves the saviors of our life and of our world. And we reward ourselves with all of the great and good gifts of the Lord. Because one thing He gives us above all else is creative love and the bounty which pours forth from that love. And it is pouring forth constantly. It never ceases. It is up to us to live rightly so that we may reach out and take hold of this great love which He gave us. This nation was founded upon a tremendous principle. And on the silver dollar which we used to have, it says, "In God we trust." We have come a long way from those times. In many, many ways, we have built up false standards, perhaps. But in all that is happening now, we are starting a new life. A new life. It is the dawn of a new era. And it's going to be something wonderful to behold if each and every one of us will attempt to do our part to be one with Him. In closing, I'd like to read you a poem which Master was given right when he stood on the platform speaking to a large group of people. It's entitled, "God, God, God." From the depths of slumber, as I ascend the spiral stairways of wakefulness, I will whisper, "God, God, God. Thou art the food, and when I break my fast of nightly separation from Thee, I will taste Thee and mentally say, God, God, God. No matter where I go, the spotlight of my mind will ever keep turning on Thee. And in the battle din of activity, my silent war cry will be, God, God, God. When boisterous storms of trial shriek, and when worries howl at me, I will drown their noises by loudly chanting, God, God, God. When my mind weaves dreams with threads of memories, then on that magic cloth will I emboss, God, God, God. Every night in time of deepest sleep, my peace dreams and calls, joy, joy, joy. And my joy comes singing evermore, God, God, God. In waking, eating, working, dreaming, sleeping, serving, meditating, chanting, divinely loving, my soul will constantly hum, unheard by any, God, God, God. And this is the way it is. with the great ones of the world. Those whose love for God is greater than their love for themselves. And they devote every thought, every word, every action, every speck of energy to finding out who and what they really are. Who am I? I am the eternal God dwelling in this human form. I am the great I am, the Father Abraham, the Father of us all. We have so much to be thankful for. Let us not forget this, but let us not make it just for one day. But let us start to give thanks every moment of our life for God's great blessing.